Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasik Nun Aleph. 51. Uvin Seyah HaMishkan, Yeridu Oisei HaLevim. When the Mishkan would travel, when Klal Yisrael would travel, here it says when the Mishkan would travel, Yeridu Oisei HaLevim, the Levim, there's a lot of noise here, screaming outside. A lot of excited people over here outside, I don't know. Yeridu Oisei HaLevim, the Levim would disassemble the Mishkan, v'chanois ha-Mishkan, and when the Mishkan, they would encamp, yokimu oisei ha-Levim, the Levim would reassemble it, v'hazor ha-akrev yumas. So Pasuk Aleph teaches us that when the Mishkan would travel, who would be in charge of disassembling the Mishkan? It would be the Shevet Levi. Who would be in charge of reassembling the Mishkan, erecting the Mishkan, Shevet Levi? And then it says a very important word in this Pasuk, v'hazor ha-akrev yumas, a zor, someone who is not a stranger. What does a stranger mean in this context? A czar in this context means a person. Give me 1 second here. Okay, let me tell these people over here to be quiet. What's that? Someone learning? What? Okay, please. Okay. The Hazar Hakarev Yumas. The czar that goes near will die. Who is a czar? A czar? Who is a czar? Is a czar? A czar ordinarily means someone who is a stranger. Who in this context is a stranger? Let's see Rashi. Rashi says pasuk ben alf. Yeridu esoy kitar gumoy yis yif rikun. Yif rikun means they will disassemble. They will read the targum in a moment. Kishabon lisa b'midbar mimasa lamasa. When the Jewish people would travel from one journey to another journey, we know that there were 42 masois. Hayu mefarkin oisoy mehakamasai. They would disassemble. Mefarkin means they would loosely would translate to take it apart. Vinois noisoy admakam masha yishkoin sham. They would carry the parts to the location where the amur ha'anan would demand that they reassemble. V'yachanu sham, and they would encamp there. Umikimin oisoy, and when they reached their destination, the Levim would reassemble the Mishkan. V'azor hakarev, la'avoidosam zo, a stranger that comes near this service. Rashi here says a very important word, that the disassembly and the assembly of the Mishkan, the taking it apart, is called an avoda, is called a service. It's not just called nothing. There's something very significant about it. Yumas, they will die. Rashi says here, bidei shamayim. There is no capital, there is no bezdin, there is no halacha in the Torah. They will die, bidei shamayim. Targum pasik nun aleph, uve mital mashkina. So the word uve mital means uvin soya, okay? Lashon of tal means metaltalin. In the Gemara, we always have the word metaltalin. There is karka, real estate, and metaltalin, movable objects. The word, what is the primary difference between real estate and movable objects? Movable. Karka cannot be moved. Metaltalin can be moved. Uvin soya means uvin metal mashkina. Yefarkun yosei, it's disassembled. Who will disassemble it? Levo'e, that's a very important word over here. We're calling the Levim, Sheva Levi, it's called the Levo'e, the Levites. And then he says, Uve Mishrei Mashkina, and when the Mishkan would encamp, Yekimun yosei Levo'e, Vichi Lonai. This is the Mefarshim over here, they dwell upon this word. He translates the word zor, a stranger, as a chiloni. Look at this word. Isn't this an amazing word? Today in modern society, there are labels. There's a charedi and a chiloni. Dati, lu'umi. Mark, you know all the labels a lot better than I do. I don't know. I'm not so familiar with the culture, with society. But we have a word. It's a word that is not a nice word. Charedi is also a dirty word. Haredi is also a dirty, I mean, it used to be a dirty word. Listen, it's all relative. It's all relative. Who are you talking to? But the word chiloni today in Israeli society has a connotation, has a certain connotation. And look at this. This is how the Targum translates the word zar, a stranger to this particular service. He's calling him the chilonai, which basically means a chiloni, a person who is who is miloshen choil, mundane. Now I'm going to read you over here what it says over here in the parish over here. The sefer is an awesome sefer on the Targum, and he writes over here. Okay, we have over here the word the chilonai. I'm reading over here what it says over here in the parish of a chol. I lost the place. I was distracted. There's a lot of things going on over here in this place. The chilonai lashon zar mishorish chaloin the ena miloshon chol. Shrei motzanu yahalol chazav v'loy picha dim targmin chalonai. And it says v'loy v'chein yesh lechichem. I'm going over here. Okay, now, so he does go on to say, okay, let's leave it with that. He does go on to say over here, let's assume over here, it's not so simple what it means. I don't know. He has over here an elaboration which is over my head. Okay, he has some very sophisticated commentary over here what this means. The assumption is, chilonai means miloshon choil, mundane. Anyone who is not a Levi is considered to be mundane relative to this service. Okay, then, now the next one is very important. Then it says over here that Hazar HaKrev Yumas. The Targum says, V'chilonai diyikrav yiskitil. Now, what does the word yiskitil mean? It means be put to death. Now, the Targum has a collection of words that he uses throughout Chumash to define death. There are certain words that are used to define the death bidei Adam and a death bidei Shamayim. The word here, yiskitil, according to the interpretation, refers to a type of death of Misa bidei Shamayim. Because whenever in Chumash a person is put to death by a human being, the Targum has a different word. The word is always kitla. Okay, not yiskitil. The word yumas is found throughout Tanakh and Chumash many places. Yumas. Sometimes the word yumas means that Bezdin has an obligation to put the person to death. Sometimes it means that a person, Ruvain, he put Ruvain, Shimon, to death. Sometimes in Chumash, the same exact word, yumas, means a person is being put to death by another human being. And in fact, that's what it means most of the time. And when it means that, the way the Targum structures, the grammar of the word is, kotla, kotla, he shall be put to death. He shall be put to death, which is usually used in the context of another human being putting this person to death. In this context, though, that's not what the Targum says. It says yiskitil. Yiskitil means it's in a form, a grammatical form that not where you do it to the person, but rather it is brought upon the person. It comes, it's not a command. Ordinarily, you must can be understood as a command. You must, this person shall be put to death. And that connotes another human being shall do the dirty work. However, that's not what the Targum says here. The Targum, instead of saying the word kitla, he says yiskitil, which means that death shall be brought upon him. No one is picking up a finger to kill this person, but instead it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about the person will die. That is an appreciation for Rashi. Rashi says yumos al yidei bidei shamayim. Where did Rashi get bidei shamayim? Maybe when the pasuk says that when you travel in the desert, the only ones that are permitted to participate in the carrying and in putting, assembling and the disassembling the Mishkan, maybe the only one that's allowed to do so is a Levi. And if a Yisrael takes upon himself to participate, he shall be put to death. It's a capital punishment.
So the Targum says that's not the tradition. That's not our Mesorah. We don't know why not. If you want to read the Pasuk, you can read the Pasuk however you like. But the tradition is there is no halacha, there is no law that he needs to be put to death. Instead, it's a Misa Bidei Shemayim. And the way that we indicate that's what the word Yumas means, it says Yisketil, the death will become upon him. He has brought death upon himself. Not that there is a command to the Bezdin that they shall put this fellow to death. And Rashi picks up on that usage of the Targum, and that's why Rashi says, Bidei Shamayim. It's a very subtle point, because the rules that applied in the desert are not the same rules that applied when Klai Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. There were many halachos that were unique to the generation of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. There were many different things that were different. They followed a different set of rules during that time. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was a different, certain halachas were triggered, and certain things that they were doing until then had to stop. Maybe there was such a halacha that if a person who was a czar, he touched and he carried the Mishkan, should be put to death? No, that's not what it says over here in Rashi and the Targum. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Nun Beis. Pasuk means, V'chanu v'nei Yisrael, they will encamp, Ish al machaneu. Each man will encamp al machaneu. Al means near his camp. The Ish al digloi, and each man near. Al means always near. Al does not mean upon. Literally, the word al means you're standing horizontally. You're standing in a vertical line. You are on top, and the other item is below. That's not what it means. Al more often than not means near. V'chanu v'nei Yisrael, ish, each person, al, near, machanehu, v'ish, each man, al, near, digloi. What is a degel? Now we're coming over here to a very important word. Digloi litzivai sam, based upon their hosts. What does that mean? Let's see Rashi. Rashi, plus the beis, ish al digloi, k'moshe hadagolim sidurim b'sefer zeh, shloisha shvatim l'chol degel. So Rashi is foreshadowing what we're going to learn in a few moments. This is the parasha of the Degolim. Each shevet had its own flag. There's a major machlekes rishonim, what the flag looked like. Some will tell you, some rishonim say that it was like what we would imagine, modern day flag, a piece of cloth that was raised on a pole, on a high pole, high up, and on this, the cloth was a color, and in the color they would do embroidery, or they would paint, or they would produce an image of something, a symbol. They would have a vine. They would have we know all the different shvatim. Each you could go to a shul, the stained glass windows, right? The stained glass windows, all different types of stain, all pictures you put on a stained glass window. So one of those images was on the cloth of each shevet. Other rishonim strongly disagree, and they hold that the degel was nothing more than a color. It was a piece of cloth. There was no image. It was just a color. Others say there was a letter of one of the alphabet, one of the letters. Some say there was a word, but it was not necessarily art. We like to think that the degel of the Shvatim was some exotic art. Not necessarily. Some Rishonim say that, but most Rishonim say that's not the pshat. The degel was nothing more than a cloth that had a letter on it or had words on it, but it was nothing very sophisticated. And that's also because we're going to see now that who even says the word degel means a flag. The Targum, from the Targum it's Mashma, and Rashi really alludes to this. The degel doesn't mean there was nothing. Degel means there was an arrangement. Each person stood in formation. Just like today in the modern army, when they march, there's a formation. There are exactly a certain number of soldiers in each row. You have a row of soldiers, and you have a certain number of rows, and they march in a very given formation. When the Jewish people marched in the desert, they were given instructions exactly how they should stand and march. Social distancing was enacted as they traveled in the desert. Everyone had to stay exactly where they were positioned. So Rashi here just Yishal Degloi, K'moshe HaDegolim Sudurim B'Sefer Zeh, Shaloisha Shavatim L'Chol Degel, each, there were only four Degolim, it says, four flags. Three shvatim per degel. So that's what the pasuk. Let's see Rashi. Rashi has pasuk in days in the Targum. The Yishur b'nei Yishol gevar al mashroi. Each Jew will stand by his camp. Okay, al gevar each man al tikse. Now that's the key word. Tikse l'chele hoin. L'chele hoin means the host, which means their strength, the army. Al digla l'tzivaysam. L'tzivaysam, he translates of l'chayil. Chayil, a gibor chayil, a mighty warrior. Each man stood near the flag that represented his division in the army. That's like a very simple translation, which means the whole Klal Yisrael was one big army. The Tzivos Hashem, Lubavitch, they're very into this. Lubavitch, they made the organization called, I was one of the first members of Tzivos Hashem. I was actually recently looking for my card. I think I still have it somewhere. In the attic somewhere, I was looking for it before Pesach time, my Tzivos Hashem card from, I can't even tell you how many years ago this was. I was from the first members of the Lubavitch's Tzivos Hashem. I should really, you know, take it and show it to them and demand respect. Have yechidus with the Rebbe. I should get yechidus with the Rebbe for my Tzivos Hashem. No, don't you think so? Come to the oil, everyone out. Arois, it's just me and the Rebbe. Right? I have a Tzivos Hashem card, a current card carrying member. Now, what now here the word tikse is a fascinating word. The whole Chumash Bamidbar will be kedai just to learn the Targum to come to the word tikse. What does tikse mean? Tikse is the translation for the word flag. The word tikse is used two other places. Oh, it's really all of us. Yosef, when he prepared to greet his father, it says in the Pasuk, Vayesor es richbo. He readied, or he tied. The word yesor means to tie. He took the ropes and he tied up his, his horse to the chariot. Vayesor es richbo. The way it's translated is he was misader. He arranged, he prepared his chariot. And the Targum on the word Vayesor is the same word. The takse yos richbe, same exact word. So the question is, what does the word takse, what's the kind of word, where else do we have the word? Paro. In Parshas Beshalach, when Paro began to chase after Klal Yisrael, it says, Vayesor Paro es richboi, v'yes amoi lokach imo. Paro, in order to encourage everyone to join him in going to war against Klal Yisrael, he himself publicly prepared his own chariot. When was the last time you saw the President of the United States pull over the beast in a gas station and get out and fill it up himself? Are you talking such a thing? To see the President of the United States get out of the drive his own limousine and to get out at a gas station and tell the guy, and the guy says, Mr. President, you want regular? You want regular or unleaded? And the President says, none of the above, diesel. The beast runs on diesel, not on regular or unleaded. Are you talking such a thing that the President of the United States would do such a thing? Well, Paro did it. And Paro was even more dignified than any President of the United States. That's the assumption. And why did he do it? In order to encourage everyone to join him in the battle. And the word that the Pasuk uses where he prepared his own chariot is Vayesor es richbo. And the Targum there says this word, the tikse, the same word, Paro, he readied his chariot. The word Vayesor has the same translation in the Targum as the word for a degel. Now that is a shocking revelation. And that opens up the challenge, what exactly does a flag have to do with a concept of preparing your chariot to travel? Now, obviously they're both traveling. Yosef is traveling to his father. He's traveling to his father. Paro is traveling to go to war against Klal Yisrael. And they prepare their vehicle, And the word used to prepare the vehicle is this word tikse. And when Klal Yisrael travels in the desert, we use the same exact word. So what's the connection? I don't know. Okay, this is something which has to be thought about and discussed. We're not here to answer the question because we have to cover some ground. But the basic gist of what he's trying to say here on the side of this in the Sefer is that the word degel does not necessarily mean a cloth that's hung on a pole and has artwork. A degel means there were four degolim. It means there were four arrangements. The Jewish people were configured. They arranged themselves in a given configuration to prepare to travel in the desert. Just like Yosef, he prepared his wagon, he configured the wagon, he's going to travel, he has to decide, which horse should I take? I have a lot of horses. Should I take the white horse, or should I take the black horse? Should I take which chariot? Should I take chariot A or chariot B? I have a lot of different type of vehicles. Should I go by helicopter? Should I go by plane? Should I go by car? Should I go by submarine? And you have to make a lot of decisions to configure your travel arrangements to go where you need to go. That's what Vayis. So here in Klal Yisrael now it says that each, when they travel in the desert, it doesn't just mean they traveled with a flag. Yeah, here's the flag. It means a lot more than that. It means when they set out to travel, they had flags. It means they prepared themselves. They made arrangements. They configured themselves in a formation in preparation to travel in the desert. It's a very deep principle, the word, the degolim, this week's parasha, limit of the degolim. And the key, the secret to understand what the degolim are all about is to appreciate this targum, which connects it to Paro and to Yosef. Let's go further.
It's interesting. The Rashi here that I have also points out
Sidurim. Right, exactly.
Sidurim, the Sefer is in.
Later on in this book.
He gives you the choice of the Sefer, but he also says the Seder is in.
Seder in an arrangement. Okay, interesting. Two gear size in what? So then there's a whole different meaning. That would be, the word Seder very much fits into that word. Now, I was reading this, what struck me is when we learned not that long ago about, we have a shiur on the Sidur. A Sidur. They're beginning to open up the shuls. Okay, they're opening up the shuls. And what do you do in the shul? You come with a Sidur. What is a Sidur? It's the Degel. The Sidur is our Degel. You have a nusach. What nusach do you have in the shul? Nusach Ashkenaz, nusach Sfard. There are different groups in Klal Yisrael. There's the Degel Machaneh Sfard, Degel Machaneh Ashkenaz, Degel Machaneh Mizrach Eidus. There are different Degel Machaneh, the Yemenites. What is a Degel? Rashi tells us it's a Seder. What is a Seder? It's an array, a Sidur. And what is every Jew as he travels in life, his whole life is in the Sidur, in the Sidur. That is his Degel. That's my flag. That's my pride and joy. A flag is your pride and joy. Like in America, you know, you die for the flag. You know, it's the expression, you die for the flag. When someone dies, they bury him. They cover his casket in the American flag, and there's a ceremony. They fold the flag and they give the flag to the closest of kin. In Israel also, okay. In Israel, they do the same thing. Every nation, it's nothing unique to every nation does this. I don't know by the Haredim if they do this, but you'd be surprised. You'd be a Haredi who served in the IDF. You'd be very surprised. They very much want. They should have the ceremony. When it's personal, it's a very different. there are gedolim that say that the flag has kedusha. They don't have kedusha the Sefer Torah, but people have died for the flag, for Eretz Yisrael, and the flag represents Klal Yisrael has given it a degree of meaning. It's zeloy poshut, what a degel is. What is the ultimate degel? Our sidur. Because degel really means a sidur. Okay, we're going into too much drush. It's not the purpose of here is to learn the psukim, not too much drush. Next, Pasuk Nun Gimel. Nun Gimel is V'halivim yachnu sev l'mishkan oedlis. Pasuk Nun Gimel says, V'halivim yachnu, they will encamp sev l'mishkan oedlis. V'lo, they will encamp around. V'lo yeketzef, there will be no anger. Al adas b'nei Yisrael. And by them encamping around the Mishkan, it will remove anger. V'shomeru ha-levim, they will guard, they shall guard. Es mishmeres, mishkan ho-edus, the guard of the mishkan ho-edus. Let's see, Pasuk Ben Gilun Rashi, v'lo yiketzef. So Rashi explains, im ta'asu kimitzvosi, there's a condition. There's no guarantee for nothing. If you will be observant, you will do according to my commandments, then lo yihye ketzev. V'im lav, v'im misbehave, sheyich nesu zorim. So what is the misbehaving? If you allow a zor to guide Klal Yisrael, ba'avoydosam zo yihye ketzev. K'mo shemotzim b'maisa korach, ki yotza ketzev. Rashi over here brilliantly makes a gzeirah shava to korach. Karach, it says the aftermath was the kiyotza haketzef me'es Hashem. Hashem has selected unique individuals, unique parts of Klal Yisrael to guide them, to lead them. When people do not belong there, they enter into a position they do not belong, that creates chaos. That creates ketzef. This is all ma'isa of a similar banim. When Klal Yisrael travel in the desert, it means they're traveling in Golus. 2,000 years of Golus, and in Golus, there are leaders who guide Klal Yisrael. The leaders are Sheva Levi. And if a balabas puts his head in there, someone who sticks his head in there to go tell you what to do and doesn't belong there, that brings ketzef. Weiter in, let's see over here in the Targum, Pasuk Nun Gimel in the Targum. The Levoe, we learned that, the Levim. Yishroin, they will encamp. So everything is coming together now. Sechar, sechar, the two words together around the mashkana de sohadusa, the mishkan of testimony. V'lo yeheg rugza, there should not be anger. Al kinishah de bnei Yisrael, the yitrun levoe, they shall guard. Lashon of nitira, nitir means to guard. You guard like noita, you guard your anger. You bear a grudge. What happens when you bear a grudge? What does it? What does it mean to bear a grudge? Why is the word nitira mean a grudge? It means you don't let the avla go away. You hold on to your anger. A person did something harmful to you. You review it every day. You have a seder chazara, Ruvain. You go through the whole list. You go through your roster. You go through all of the little squares here on the screen. This guy, he did this to me. And this guy did this. And this guy did that. You chazer over, nochamol, what everyone did to you. You're a guardian. So that's the word in the Tira, that's the word over here. The Yitun Levoe, they shall guard Yos Matras Mashkina. They shall guard the Matras. What's the word? What is the word they shall guard? That is a new word he adds in. Okay, he doesn't say that. Vishamru Halvim es Mishmeres. Okay, the Mishmeres means the guard. What's the guard? He translates the word guard here to mean the Matras. The Matras. I guess he doesn't explain anything over here in this pasuk and on the side. I guess it means the guard, the guard of the mashkana, the sadusa of the mishkan of testimony. Pasuk nundalid, vayasu v'nei yishol kachla shetziva Hashem es Moshe kinasu. They did what they were told to do. There is narashi targum v'avadu v'nei yishol kachol tifakei de Hashem yos l'moshe, that the Jewish people did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. That is what they did. Cain so avadu they did. Next pasuk. Now this is unique, because ordinarily, what does it say in the pasuk? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. Here it says Vayidaber Hashem Moshe ve'aharon. Aaron over here is being introduced. Normally we don't mention Aaron, but in this case, Aaron is part of the equation, And that means, and now we're discussing the golem. In the sugya of the golem, it's not only Moshe. Aaron is a shutuf in the sugya, in the topic of the golem. Ish each man al digloi the oisois near his degel, the oisois levesa voisam. Now this is going to be hard words to translate. The signs according to their family, yachnu b'nei Yisrael, mineged. What does it mean, mineged? We'll have to see what that means in a moment. Saviv la'ohel moed yachan. Okay, there's a lot going on. The pasuk Rashi, the oisais. First Rashi comes to the fun word oisais, called degel yelo ois. Now get yafu. This is a major. This pasuk is any time a pasuk is difficult to translate, it's for good. That automatically means it's a guarantee. This is pashut admoed. The more difficulty you have in translating the pasuk is a guarantee that there will be enormous diversity amongst the Rishonim as to translate the pasuk. This pasuk is extremely difficult. It has a lot of words, and we really have a very hard time piecing them together. Everyone's going to have their own opinion. So Rashi is the Ikar. Oisois, so Rashi says, Kol degel yiye lo ois. Mapa tsevua teluya boy. What was the ois? A mapa, a shmata. Yeah, mapa means some type of cloth. Tsevua, that had a distinct color, teluya boy, was hung upon, that is the name you hear outside. This is not in the building. That Yehoshua Rabbi you just heard, it's on the roof. Literally on the roof. Where am I? I'm in a funny place. You wouldn't believe where I am, but there is no minion in this building. This building is supposed to be locked. I'm the only one that officially has permission to be here, and there are squatters here that are making me miserable. I'm not joking. You think I'm joking?
You see the regulations for the shul?
I saw the regulations.
Mishlochim are allowed? No,
mishlochim. Oh, that tzedakah, right? Okay, well, let's not waste time. The oisais. Kol degel yiyeh lo'ois. Every degel has a sign. What's the sign? A mapat sevua, a shmata that's covered, teluya boy. That is hung, I guess, on a pole, it seems. Sivay shel zeh lekitzivay shel zeh tseva shel tseva kol echad ki galvon avonoi hakavua b'choshen. Klal Yisrael is colorful. We live a very boring, everyone, they always make fun of the yeshiva bachrim, they look like penguins. Penguins. Black and white. You ever hear that before? All bunch of penguins. So the truth is, in the olden days, Klal Yisrael is full of color. Every shaved has a color. What's the color? The color of the stone on the choshen. There are 12 stones. Each stone corresponds to a shevet. And the color of the stone of each shevet is the color of their flag. That's what Rashi says. Seva shekol kol echad kigavana avonoi hakavua b'choshen. Umitoich kein yakir kol echad esk digloi. Everyone can look up into the sky and they can see the color and they know where to go. What happens if you're colorblind? What happens? What?
Degel. Now it sounds like each tribe has a degel.
No. So there are big degolim. Right. I know every shevet has its own degel, and then there's another layer where three tribes are brought together under the banner of one of those three. Okay, we'll see in a moment. You're right, but it's a given. Rashi learns. You're saying good. You have to go read the psukim and see how all the mafarshim learn the psukim. Maybe some say like you that not everyone had their own flag. There are only four. You're right, because it's mash, but there are only four flags. Rashi says no. Every shevet had their own flag. In addition to each shevet having their own flag, through each three shvatim were grouped together under one of those flags as the major flag. What is a flag? Nothing other than a piece of material dyed a specific color, the color of the stone in the choshen. There were no words, there were no letters, there were no logos. It wasn't like you go to shul and you look at the stained glass windows around the Aron. There were no stained glass windows here. That kolzer kolecha kegavon avonah kavur b'choshen umitoychach yaki kolecha desdigloi. David Acher, Another interpretation, Be'oisais, the base of Oisam, Be'ois Shemosar Lohem Yaakov. Now, according to this interpretation, Rashi seems to be like this, so we go back to the Targum. Whoever said that a degel means a flag? Maybe a degel means an arrangement, a configuration. Okay, that was we spent 10 minutes on before. So what then does it mean here, Be'oisais? It means Yaakov Avinu, before he died, he told his children exactly how he wants them to carry him out of Egypt. You, Reuven, you stand here. Shimon, you stand here. Levi, you stand here. And when they escorted his coffin out of Egypt to burial, they stood in a specific configuration. And that's what it means, Be'oisais. It means, Be'oisais shel beis avosam, Be'ois shemosa lechem Yaakov avihem, kishenosu'u mimitzrayim, shenemar, v'yasa b'nav lo'ikein, kasher tzivam, Yehuda yisachem v'zvulam yisu min ha-mizrach, Yehuda yisachem zvulam, they're going to be on the east. They sat on the mizrach. Now you know who sits in the mizrach in shul. If you have a tendency to sit in the front of the shul, some people know the covered. The taiva for covered is so gross. You just navigate. You ever see these guys? I see them all the time. There's certain people, they just navigate. They just somehow find their way sitting in the mizrach. You know, anyone that navigates to the mizrach, he comes from Shevet, you know automatically Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun. Pasha, you know why? Because Yehuda are there with Malchus, Yisachar with the Rabbanim, the Gros Rabbanim, and Zevulun are the rich people. So it makes a lot of sense. The president, the Talmidei Chachamim, and the rich, they sit in the Mizrach Vant. Makes a lot of sense, no? And then it says, Mina Mizrach, V'Ruvain, V'Shimon, V'God, B'min HaDorim. Ruvain, so in the shul, which side? The Dorim is the left side of the shul. Ruvain and Shimon and God, Min Adam. Because Ruvain and Shimon, these are the troublemakers. These are the Ruvain and Shimon, they destroyed Shechem. And God is the God is no God. What? No, God's a good guy. I don't know. And Rashi somehow mysteriously stops. He doesn't want to tell you who's on the right, on the Tzafain, and he doesn't want to tell you who is the Ma'arif. He doesn't want to tell you. I don't know why. It's right. They were on the Doran. Who's on the Tzafain? Rashi doesn't want to say. Who's on the Ma'arif? Doesn't want to say. Mineged. Now Rashi is very, Minegin means Merchak Mil. A mil is 2,000 Amos. So this means, K'mo Shnem V'Yeshua, Ach Rochak Yeh B'Neichem U'B'Ibeinov, K'Alpayim Amo, that Shevet Levi, was the people, when they traveled, incredible Chiddush, that when they traveled in the desert, the Mishkan was in the center, and everyone else kept a distance from the Mishkan, from the Levim, 2,000 amos. That's a lot. That's the Tchum Shabbos. They distanced themselves. They were social distancing. Okay? They didn't allow the Shvatim to get near the Levim. They had to social distance to, not 6 feet, not 10 feet, 2,000 amos from Shevet Levi. That's what it says. Sheyuchul lova, why? Why only 2,000 amos? So Rashi says, not because they wanted, that's the max, because just in case there will be an issue, and Moshe Rabbeinu wants to speak to any member of Klal Yisrael, so since the perimeter, the end of each machane is exactly 2,000 amos, so they can travel from the machane all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an incredible chiddush. A lot of he says in halacha over here. K'lovei b'shabes, Moshe v'yaron b'bon of ha-levim, choynim b'samchloi, Moshe, Aaron, and his children, and the Levim, he adds all these words in, they were choynim b'samchloi, near to each one of the Shvatim. Let's see the Targum. Zerar, Pasuk Targum, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Umalil, Givar al-Tikse, again, the same word, each man, al-Tikse, near his flag, the Osvan, he doesn't say anything. Oh, here the Targum is vague. Targum over here is just vague. But of son means their sign, an ois. Lebeis avo hosain. Yishron b'nei Yisrael. Mikabel. Mikabel means opposite. The word mikabel is not an easy word. And some of them over here in the Mefarshim over here, he wants to start to play around with the word mikabel. Mikabel, he wants to say, means, all right, opposite, fine, opposite. Sechar, sechar, lemashkan, zimla, yishon, they shall live. Okay, let's. It's not, we don't have anything that's obvious that really stands out for now. Pasuk, let's do another pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. V'hachaynim kedma mizracha. Now we're going to start where all of the shvatim are going to be located. So v'hachaynim kedma mizracha. Now that is a repetition. There are two words which basically mean the same thing. Kedem is, what is kedem? Kedem is the east, and mizrach is the east. So why does the pasuk repeat itself? This poetic repetition here. V'hachaynim kedma mizracha. We'll see. Degel machane Yehuda l'tziva isam v'nasil v'nei Yehuda nachshon ben aminadav. Utzva'oy, another pasuk, utzva'oy v'kudehem, and his army and his number. Okay, with, together with Yehuda, he had an army. Ufkudehem and their number. What was the number? Arba'o v'shevim elef. Again, the small number first, the large number next. And elef is v'loshon yachid. 74,000 v'shesh meyos. Rashi. Kedma lifnim hakiruya kedem ve'ezo zo ruach mizrachis v'hamayriv karuy ochor. According to Rashi, Rashi very carefully is telling us the word kedem does not mean the east. This that we're brainwashed that kedem means the east, that's only because this pasuk is coming to tell us that in this context, kedem means within. Lifonim. Kedma lifonim. Whatever is in front, hakuya kedem. And the front happens to be the Ezoi Zo Ruach Mizrachis. The Hamayrov is Karuoi Ochor, is called back. Now, this Rashi is extremely critical to every single map. I take that back, it's not true. In America, when you look at a map, what do they show you in a map? What's the top of the map? Top of every map is what? North. Right, you look at the United States. The top is north, the bottom is south, to the right is east, and to the left is west. When you look at the map of Eretz Yisrael, when you look at the map of the Beis Hamikdash, every model, every time someone will show you a model of the Beis Hamikdash, what's on top? West. What's on the bottom of the page? East. What's to the left? Well, if the bottom of the page is east, I'm all mixed up now. If the top of the page is west, so that means the left side is going to be south, and the right side is going to be north. And what does it say over here? Kedma is lifonim is in front of you, Hakriya Kedem, the Ezozoim Mizrachis, the Hamarev Kor Ochar. So I want to suggest to you that this is why this Rashi is the reason why every map, Jewish map, is the top of the map is west and the bottom of the map is east. Because Kedem means right in front of you. On a piece of paper, what is in front of you in the piece of paper? Ordinarily, you're looking at the bottom of the piece of paper. The top of the piece of paper is higher up from you. So what is kedem is called east. What is l'achar, further ahead of you, is called west. So Jewish maps, the top of the Jewish map, a piece of paper that's right side up, the top of the Jewish map is west, and the bottom of the Jewish map is east. I know you can look in the back of the Chumash there, Mark, those are Goyish maps. The maps that they put for you in the back of the art scroll, all the Chumashim, is they are following the same exact rule as secular maps. In the secular world, they put on the top the north, Mitzafoin Tiposach Ro'ah, and on the bottom they put the south. Only when they will show you the Beis HaMikdash do they turn the world upside down and they put on the top of the map west and the bottom they put east. But when they show you the whole Eretz Yisrael, they're showing Eretz Yisrael the way the convention of the Welt. In the Welt, the convention is the top of the map is north, the bottom is south. if Jews were to be making the maps and be making the globe and all of these things, then they would position it, everything is relative, they would position it in such a way where the top is west and the bottom is east. And that comes from this Rashi right in front of us. Ked kedma lifanim. Lifanim means below, right in front of you. Hakruya kedem. The Hamarav Korachor. It's higher up. Higher up on the page is called Marav. Okay, so Kedem, we think Kedem means, it doesn't mean east. Kedem means what's in front of you. And the Pasuk is telling you that what is in front of you should be the east. That's the way we want to set things up. The most Choshev should be the east. And by the way, which basically means that the bottom is the bottom on a piece of paper. What's more, when you look at a piece of paper in the secular world, so where do you start from? I start from the top. Who says you start from the top? Maybe the most chosh part of the piece of paper should be the bottom. And you should read up, just like in Hebrew we go from right to left. English you go from left to right. Hebrew you go from right to left. Why are we going from top down? Why not go from bottom up? Well, in the Sefer Torah, we don't do that. In the Sefer Torah, the Masorah is we go from top down, not from bottom up. But why is it like that? Why is it like that? If the Torah here says Kedem Mizracha, Kedem is what's in front of you, and Achor is higher up, and that's why our maps are like this. So why Taka is the Mesorah in the Sefer Torah? When you read a Sefer Torah, you read from top down, not from bottom up. Obviously, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Let's do the Targum, we'll stop. Targum here, Pasuk, Gimel says, V'dishran kiduma mad necha. Okay, and they will dwell on the east of the machane. Now, notice here that according to Targum is coming to disagree with Rashi. Rashi clearly says that Kedem does not mean east. Kedem means lifonim, what's in front of you. And the Pasuk is telling that what should be in front of you, configure it that it's the east, because you can turn it around, 360. The Targum takes two words and merges them together into one word. Pasuk Gimel, V'achaynim kedma mizracha. Two words. Kedem, Mizrach, Targum, one word, Kiduma. The Targum obviously holds Kedem means east, and Mizrach means east. And therefore he summarized the two words in one shot as east. Oh, why then did the Torah use two words? No. Dibra Torah Kalashayin B'nai Adam. Sometimes the Torah is poetic and it uses two words.
Using Madincha. What's Madincha?
No, that's the Machane.
Madincha's Machane?
Kiduma Madincha. Oh, you're right. Okay, I made a mistake. Okay, you got me. I made a mistake. Chotosi. Dvarim Shamarti Tos Hein Biyadi. You're right, I made a mistake. I didn't realize that. I thought that was a Machane. I made a mistake. Kiduma, you're right. Kiduma, but Kiduma means Kedem. Okay. Okay, Mancha, take us the flag. Mashras Yehuda lechei lehoin. The Rabba, the great one, Levnei Yehuda. So he calls the Nasi. Who's the Nasi? What would you call a Nasi?
Yehuda.
A prince, a Nagid. A Nagid. He calls him the Rabba. Okay, the way he defines the word a Nasi, it's a very interesting translation for the word Nasi. We say a Nasi, oh, a Nasi means a Melech. It means a prince, a nagid. He says a word, v'rabba, the greatest one of them. No, just because you're the greatest, the rabba is a word which basically means in contrast. If you have two cockroaches, and one is an inch longer than the other one, so the one that's an inch longer is the great one. But it's a cockroach. It doesn't say very much about it. The Targum is downgrading the significance of the Nasi. V'nasi, the rabba, the greatest one, Lebnei Yehuda, Nachshon Bar Aminav. He doesn't bring out and say no. He is great in his own right.
There are better words to define greatness. Most of us associate the word nasi to mean that you're great in your own right. Targum is an interesting point. He says, the Rav, yeah, relatively speaking, there's always going to be someone that's taller and bigger, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're fit to serve. Okay, we have to stop here. Yeah, but you would assume you just say these are nuggets. Okay, we have to stop. It's late. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you for joining me. So we're going to stop over here in the admission. Next week, tomorrow we learn. Whoever wants to join us, we learn tomorrow the Siddur. Okay, tomorrow we learn the Siddur. And Amir Shem, next week, Belineder, on Monday, we're going to continue with Parshas Nosoi. Okay, every week we're going to do as far as we can get. And next week we're going to start with Parshas Nosoi. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for joining me. I have to step out, so I don't want to be rude, and I just want to wish you all a good night. Be well.
Thank you.
Good night.
Welcome back, one of them to the Catholic Book, or the one who's welcome back, one of the Catholic Book, or Oh, we have to.